I don't honestly mind that Sorbo is a Christian. I just mind he's such a dick about it.
Bingo.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we're at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival with our good friend and regular guest, Ron Bauman. This time around, we're going to talk about trigger warnings at college.
We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. Geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Molly Glover.
Hello.
And Nick Glover.
Huzzah!
It is Renaissance Festival season, and we are here in the beautiful trailer studios.
Yes.
In the campground of the Minnesota Renaissance Festival.
It's not that hot.
It is not that hot.
It's decent
outside. It's going to be hot tomorrow, but
is
not
it?
Today.
All right,
not
well.
Today. Anyway, we are joined by one of our favorite guests, and one of our most, possibly our most frequent guest.
Yeah, pretty
Ron
sure he
Bauman.
Is.
Here he is, Ron.
Well, yes, I'm the way too often appearing guest. This is, as far as I can tell, my 9th appearance.
That's
really
amazing.
I have been here since episode 12.
Episode yep. 12.
And I said to Nick before that we started recording, when you guys are done recording with me, let me know so I'm not so presumptive.
I can't imagine.
There's still time. There's still things to talk about.
Yeah.
As evidenced by the notebook that you have in front of you.
I am prepared today.
You are prepared. Right. Now, we're going to go and into the topic of trigger warnings, which we have gone into before.
Kind of a revisit.
Kind of a revisit.
A three-visit.
A three-visit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Well, the whole thing started with trigger warnings. It started also with, I was listening to 199, and Tim was saying how he wanted to revisit that, and then we also mm-hmm. talked about, I listened to all the podcasts that I was on before to make sure I wasn't repeating myself.
I
only have 7 stories, and I think we're telling the 7th now. Or if you wanted it for fun, we could start it off by expressing my heartfelt opinion that Batman versus Superman was a significantly better movie than The Force Awakens.
What?
Yeah, why didn't we do that? Why didn't I? I haven't seen Batman versus Superman.
I just
Superman
recently
yet.
Was forced to see it.
Yeah, we should talk about the more subjective. argument of trigger warnings rather than the more objective argument that
oh my God.
That anything that man could direct would be on par with one of the best Star Wars movies.
Yeah. Oh, but, I said that just to get your expression, but now it's all.
Oh my God.
I didn't want to just touch on trigger warnings. I also want to touch on changing comedy standards.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to touch on some of the stuff we hit on too soon.
So literally everything. You just want to talk about everything. We've got a half an hour, so let's get to it.
Evolution of comedy is what I was thinking.
I like that.
And a great way to start it is, have any of you guys seen, and I had to go back and make sure I hadn't mentioned this before because I talk about this one a lot, the movie 48 Hours recently.
I don't think so.
Not recently.
What a lovely
film. It's been
a
very long time since
30
I've
years
seen
ago.
It.
Yeah.
You watch it now.
Super racist.
You'll cringe.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, the racism was part of it, but there's also just a lot of inherent systematic racism in it that is like,
there's also,
holy
if
shit,
I,
how do
if
you
I
do
remember
that?
Correctly, especially because that's that era Eddie Murphy, there's a lot of homophobia.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember what I was watching, just some comedy from the mid-90s recently, and I was like, oh, I love this movie. It came on, and I was watching it, and I was like, I used to love this movie. And it's just like, it's the stuff in there that I am more aware of now.
Where you're like, oh, the joke is that he's gay? That's not very funny anymore.
No,
like, it wasn't really then, and now that I think about it,
I'm building a comedy legacy in so much as I have an 8-year-old daughter,
mm-hmm.
and she is moderately aware of what daddy does for a living. For example, our Wi-Fi hotspot is called I Kiss Boys for a Living.
Sure.
You know, in the house.
Yeah.
And that's great, but she's not really completely conversant, and I'm terrified mm-hmm. that she's going to watch my DVDs when she's 25 or 30 and go, holy fuck, Dad, how did you pay our bills? And now part of it is again, Archie Bunker was really on point at one point, and Archie Bunker never thought he was a racist.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Another 48 Hours didn't think that when we were making a racist movie, standards change.
There's a picture in my father's yearbook of him and his friends at a high school talent show in a blackface jug band.
Yeah.
And when he went to high school, and where he went to high school, that wasn't a super offensive thing at the time to them. that wasn't even on their radar.
Yeah. Enough so that they put a picture of it in the yearbook.
In the yearbook.
Like, it wasn't like it happened and everyone was cool with it and they just let it go. No, they memorialized it for eternity.
Yeah.
And there's some things that I'm really glad that we're progressing on. That, you know, blackface, there's just no call for it now. You know, a lot of our comedy classics, there's no call for it now.
Yeah.
The idea, when's the last time you told a woman, hey, honey, why don't you smile?
Oh, yeah.
Clearly, I did 30 years ago, but to do it now, it's like, oh, gosh, no. That's...
Yeah.
But at what point is too far?
Hmm.
At what point, am I just an old, you kids get off my lawn by saying, well, this is okay and that's not? Am I just completely unaware? But I also look at, and back to the trigger warnings and the safe space stuff and the comics that are not appearing at colleges, what point is too far?
I think that, I mean, I don't really get too bent up or worked up about comics not showing up at certain colleges because those are, to some degree, fairly private institutions, private property. It's up to the college to decide. It's up to the comic to decide if they don't feel like doing it. You know, if they don't feel comfortable doing their material at a place like that. So it's not, I don't really feel like that's a huge, huge loss. Comedy going on at colleges, really. Maybe it's because I went to a private all-women's college and we didn't really have a lot of comedians coming through that I don't feel like anyone's missing out because I didn't miss out.
When I went to a state college, first time around and living in the dorms, we had bands, we had comedians.
Weird.
We had a rave once. Like, they have that auditorium space, they have performance space.
So, like, if Kurt Metzger didn't come, and he was your favorite comedian, he didn't come to your college, would you be that upset, really, though? I mean, you can go see him somewhere else.
Right.
That's
I don't
understand.
Yeah,
I mean, he's in town, go see him somewhere else.
So, interestingly enough, when I was searching for a topic about this last week, I approached Tim and Lazarchek and probably Tony Miller, and we were talking about...
It wasn't just probably, it was really Tony Miller.
Yeah.
You're getting old, you can't remember
that
shit.
That is very likely the case.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, we should maybe revisit trigger warnings. And Tim literally spent 10 minutes saying, oh, I don't want to do that again, and then gave every argument supporting or, you know, and we had this beautiful discussion about trigger warnings. And I'm okay with... Think back to PMRC, the Tipper Gore thing. Okay?
Yeah.
Tipper Gore, I just want labels so people know. That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I want a trigger warning so you know. That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I support that 100%. Yep. But what happened was, then a kid bought an album with a PMRC warning label on it and went to jail.
Yeah.
People take that, oh, this guy has a trigger thing, and now I'm going to disinvite this speaker because I don't agree with your viewpoint.
Well, at Vilification Tennis just yesterday, just yesterday, if you're from Minnesota, you know who Jacob Wetterling was.
I was going to bring this up.
He was a kid who got abducted like from his yard
27 years ago.
His name is sort of what our parents, people our age, used to scare us with, like, you could end up like Jacob Wetterling. Like, if you ever let, you know, like, very much became a stranger danger situation, even though it turned out it wasn't a stranger. Someone that his
gasp,
family...
Gasp, shock, horror.
Right?
It wasn't a stranger.
So they found his remains yesterday.
Yesterday.
You know, yesterday was a Saturday. It was a festival day. We found out on the way to festival, we're looking at the news, like, oh shit, they found Jacob Wetterling. Like, we're waiting on a positive ID from his parents. Oh, there it is. Positive DNA ID on the remains. It's him. They found him. He's been dead. Case closed, finally. They caught the guy. And so Nick has a Jacob Wetterling joke for Ville.
This man's dick is so small, it's harder to find than Jacob Wetterling.
Which always gets a, oh.
Or sometimes just his dick is harder to find than Jacob.
So he was like, I mean, I'm going to tell it. It's perfect. You got to tell it. So he tells the joke and he changes it just a little bit, you know, to make
takes
it
longer to find.
The response was about the same.
So the same as it's always been.
It was.
It's the usual, ooh.
Yeah,
and then
it didn't feel particularly.
And then he has a follow-up where he's like, you know, he used to say,
yeah, that kid's gone. Let him go.
That kid's dead. Get over it.
They're never gonna find him.
So this time it was, they found him. So afterward, I'm hawking, and in the middle of hawking, this woman, this older woman dressed up all patron-y, is pointing to me, and she gestures very violently for me to come over, makes me lean down so she can whisper at me, and says, tell your husband that they just found Jacob Wetterling's remains 2 hours ago. And I broke into a big smile, and I was like, I know, that's why we told it today. And she was very clearly upset by that, which I then told Tim, I'm like, hope you don't get a letter, or kind of hope you do. But it's the idea that, you know, how could you? how could you? But like any other day, that joke was, oh, how could you? That's so terrible. But on this particular day, it was, oh my gosh, so much disrespect. It's like, he's not anymore dead.
Yeah. He's not any more or less missing.
His parents aren't here.
It's actually, in a lot of ways, it's better because now you at least.
There's closure.
You know. Yeah. You can actually mourn.
As Pietro said, you should have said to her, well, unlike your legs, m'lady, at least now we have closure.
Oh,
nice. But what are you going to do if in 5 years you're not allowed to touch that joke? That's my question.
See, who's going to tell us that?
Trigger warnings don't, and we had this. Trigger warnings don't say you can't tell a joke.
Correct.
Trigger warnings say be aware. That's all they're doing. That is, in my opinion,
it's
that's
the same as a movie rating.
That's all a trigger warning is doing. TV. It is saying, be aware. And I mean, I do have real problems with like liberal college campuses where the students are ticked off when a conservative comes in to speak. Because I'm like, sit down and listen to what this person has to say.
Or you don't have, go.
If nothing else, know your enemy.
Yeah.
Like,
speaking as a liberal, that pisses me off. It's like, no, go sit in the auditorium and listen to them so you understand what they're saying and you have a better, you have a better
reading. The Q&A portion, ask a few good questions of the guy, put him on the spot.
Do not shy away from people with whom you disagree.
Yeah.
But a trigger warning doesn't say, don't go to the class in which we're going to discuss rape. A trigger warning says, hey, if you have a problem with discussions, frank discussions about rape, it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And be aware. So when you walk into this class, you aren't surprised. That to me is completely appropriate and okay.
Okay. We agree on that part in theory.
Okay.
And I'm absolutely supporting. And, and I don't want this to be an echo chamber because here's my problem. Mm-hmm. So, but what we don't agree on is what it should be. Don't say a trigger warning does. It's a trigger warning should.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a trigger warning. There are schools now that won't teach Huck Finn because of the word nigger Jim.
My school wouldn't teach it.
Okay.
Not because of the word, because they didn't think it added anything literary that we couldn't get from another book didn't have the word nigger.
That's an interesting value judgment that would make a whole nother discussion.
Yeah. Okay? And I went to a private school.
Okay.
All my education has been private, which is a very important note.
And again, reference, you know, the crap with PMRC, the crap with, you know, with movie ratings. Yes, it should be aware of what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine if it's a suggestion. Yeah. But the minute people take it as a law, I have a problem with it. The minute people take safe spaces and trigger warnings, like, oh, well, there's a trigger warning in this, so you can't say it. You can't teach it. And that does happen.
So, okay. One of the arguments I've heard that's along those lines for trigger warnings, is specifically in classroom and talking about it in colleges, is warning people about the content ahead of time spoils a movie or spoils the book or spoils the whatever. If you've ever read a book in college, they break down what you're going to read before you even read it so that you know what themes and things you're looking for. So that because you're not reading it for pleasure. It's like an analytical, it's a studying read. And so saying, by the way, students, this book has rape in it, isn't warning anyone off from that book. But what you're saying is they're not even going to read they're not even going to select the book because it has rape in it.
But is it?
We just covered that with Huck Finn, you know?
But what if, I mean, okay, so what if 9 out of 10 times a book has rape in it, it's lazy, it's a shitty plot device, it's an outdated mode of inspiring or changing a person in a book, it's fridging from comics.
And that's fair.
Right?
And what's interesting, I've seen you take down jokes like you just did a moment ago. It's like, oh, the joke is you're gay, or the joke throws like a girl.
Yep.
I've seen you personally take down the because girls are lesser, and that's great. I support that. And then I've seen you later on make a throws like a girl joke on another topic. That's interesting. It's interesting. And there's an area to find, and we're all going to struggle until we find that area, and that's cool. And yes, you might argue that, as you did a moment ago, there's literature books as well that are just as good that don't have the N-word in.
Right.
Let's find those. But I have a problem with, I don't know, proactive censorship because we want to protect you from these ideas.
Hold on. I was just going to say, I want to defend my school a minute here because the teachers got to choose their own curriculums at my school because it was private. But also, the idea wasn't, you shouldn't read this book. It was, I'm not going to teach this book because I don't see the value in teaching this book. Feel free to read this book. nothing wrong with this book, but like, I'm going to teach a different book because I just don't really feel like my teacher was like, I just don't think Huck Finn's that good.
Has more educational value.
It's like, I just don't think it's very good.
And that's valid as well. And did you feel me lean in when you said that?
Yeah.
Because there's so much stuff to be said just on that particular topic.
Yeah.
How about instead of books written by old white dudes that throw around the N-word, how about books that are historical accounts
or written by young black guys
that also
use the same word? Why not?
Use the same word. That way it's how much value do I place on a white person's opinion of when the word nigger should and shouldn't be used? Very little.
Yeah.
Very little. That's not whose opinion I care about, really, when it comes to that word, because it's not my fucking, like, social thing to have to deal with, and I have the privilege of that not being a problem for me, or like a word that really affects me, so, or white people in general. So if a black person says Huck Finn isn't a great word, a book to, if it's not about that word, it's about the context of the word, the book it's in, who wrote it, is there a better book that might have a more culturally relevant opinion that also has all
and,
that?
And I have to wonder, we talk about, you know, well, there's quote-unquote censorship going on in college campuses over trigger warnings. And my question is there?
Well,
because I hear people saying, I'm concerned that this is happening.
Not a concern trolling.
But I don't see a lot of evidence that it's taking place. I mean, while I do think it's a problem when somebody's outraged that there wasn't a trigger warning before they go into a law class about rape, and rape law, okay, well, yeah, then you shouldn't have had a negative trigger warning because it's in the name of the class.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need a specific trigger warning, but did it result in that class not being taught?
Right.
Did it result
in... Did the teacher get fired?
How much is it liberal outrage? Because a lot of this stuff... I saw a meme not so long ago that said the single biggest product that America produces, especially when you take in consider social media, is outrage.
Oh yeah.
Sure.
You know, I mean, you think about 1 million moms against whatever, or the Catholic, you know, the Catholic research, whatever.
The idiots,
which is
the
one
idiots
dude
boycotting
his,
Target for their gender neutral bathroom.
One dude, the Catholic League.
Yeah. One dude in his basement with a computer.
Yeah. The NRA.
You know, well, the NRA has a lot of members, but
there, a lot of that outrage comes from NRA members who are not. I mean, not all of them, obviously, not all NRA, but people who are outraged about like things that they're worried about, boogeymen coming to take their guns and things, where they're like, it's like, but there's not really evidence for that right now, so calm down.
Yeah, and facts have nothing to do with it.
Right.
Well, you know.
Right.
Talking about outrage in the internet, I read a quote from someone that was like, just to paraphrase, it was, the problem is that social media is a platform to perform, and so everyone is now a performer on social media. Therefore, everyone feels like their opinion is putting it on the public display for everyone to see and judge and value.
False equivalency.
And therefore, it's like, you should listen to the thing I have to say because my opinions are important and worth seeing and you know, interacting with. And not that anyone's
opinions, as evidenced by my Facebook friends,
are not valuable, but it's it gives this false sense of lifting up one's ideas to performance.
It seems like the single biggest takeaway to me, because I'm a cynic, from this election cycle, is that there is a racist, misogynist, closed-minded, shitty, hardcore, miserable section of the populace that isn't being served and is realizing that they are a dinosaur and are, you know, making a gasp for attention.
For sure.
They're doing a pretty good job. So speaking as somebody who writes...
But hang on. But it's not just the right. Can I circle back to one more thing?
Okay,
there's
sure.
Something else on the list. Periodically, we will get warning letters. I will get warning letters.
Yeah. From Tortuga stuff?
From Tortuga stuff. Specifically
from
saying...
From America or from other people? Just
People sitting in the audience. Okay. You always know that you're in trouble because I always thought, I've been a fan of the Tortuga twins for years,
Oh, yeah.
And they talk about how we disrespect women and we're sexual assault and blah, 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 blah. And one of them, you know, accused me of every sort of horrible sexual assault in the book. And it's never the women who I brought on stage that say this. It's never the girls that I kiss on stage that I say this. It's always some I know you have to see the air quotes, white knight sitting in the audience yeah. deciding that he's going to save women from me.
Sure. Oh.
And a couple of them I confronted and said, listen, while you weren't paying attention, I had this long speech with the girl that said, amongst other things, I'm going to touch you a lot during this performance. If I do anything that hurts your feelings, we stop at that point. And almost invariably, to a T, they go, I'm fine, do whatever you want.
Yep, that's how I feel.
And I still feel them out, pardon the pun, pardon the horrible, horrible pun. I still feel out each individual, and if you don't want to do this, Bart, we just move past it.
And of course, what you did is you gave them a trigger warning.
Nice. But I also gave them agency to protect themselves, yeah. and I've actually said
just,
to people,
just like as we yeah. talked about it before, just like I do at the beginning of a vilification tennis show, I give the audience the opportunity to recognize this is what's going to happen, and if it makes you uncomfortable, I want you to know now. I mean, and that is completely appropriate. And then when somebody comes back and white knights a person in that situation, you're right. It's like you don't recognize that I provided this person with the agency to make their own decision.
Yeah,
and I respect them. I don't feel that she's a delicate flower woman that needs to be defended from me.
Right.
I let her make her own damn decision.
So back to the outrage machine for a second, just because I contribute to it weekly.
yeah,
that's my new band name, Outrage Machine.
Outrage Machine. But and what I do, I write a blog every week called Shit That Pissed Me Off, where I actually look at the outrage machine. But what I'm thinking, when I do that, I'm always going and trying to mine the story to find out what's really happening. Mm-hmm. I've had people who've come back to me and said, you know, Tim, there's this thing that totally disagrees with what you're saying here.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, fuck. And I change it.
Or like, actually, this already got disproven within the time that it took you to write your blog post. Yeah. Like,
it's like, oh, shit. And then I fix it because I want to be upset about the right things. It's like this week. This actually is interesting. This week, we talk about the outrage machine. In the last couple of days, Wells Fargo came out with this ad campaign, which has a picture of a girl, and it says, used to be a ballerina. Yesterday was a ballerina.
Yesterday
today,
was a ballerina. Today is an engineer.
Yeah,
an engineer.
You know, and a dude who's like, yesterday was an actor. Today is a chemist. And the acting community is totally, totally crazy about
because
it.
Because it sounds like what they're saying is, you know, yesterday he wanted to be an actor, which is a garbage
position. Now
he wants a real job where he's a bioengineer.
I get why they got it, but at the same time, I look at that ad, and when I looked at it, I was like, well, I thought they're just saying that these are possibilities. It didn't really piss me off. It was like, I get why people are upset, but the other thing is Wells Fargo came out right away and they were like, whoa, that's not what we meant.
Yeah.
We're really sorry. You know, to which, to me, it's like, well, we're done.
Yeah,
you know,
they
there's no point to keep complaining about Wells Fargo.
I looked at the ad and I didn't look at it close, but the first two people I saw were a woman and a person of color. And
which
I was like, they're just trying to encourage more women and people of color to get into sciences.
Which
was my thought.
Which is a good thing.
Because we're lacking in that.
I don't know that they were trying to encourage them not to be a ballerina or an actor.
Which,
but
you need to shit on one thing to put another thing
up. But guess what? I know this might surprise everyone at this table, but theater people, dancers, and actors are a little sensitive about the fact that that's what they do. Especially if you're trying to make it as a working actor. Yeah. You're getting a lot of pressure from people who are like, why didn't you just go into banking, or why didn't you stick with your whatever degree?
There's a reason it's a B career for a lot of people who have, you know, they do like a day job and then they perform.
Yeah, because there's not a lot of money in it. And I think what the outrage machine, I think, does, and Nick, you might agree with this, or you might not, I don't know, is it provides an opportunity to educate.
Mm.
My brother-in-law, who suddenly has strangely shifted super conservative and is posting a lot of
crazy
shit.
Like,
he reminds me of that friend of yours that we've had run-ins with.
Kevin?
Yeah.
I had to unfollow him. My wife said, you can't do this anymore. You're confirming everyone's suspicion that you're an asshole. Stop arguing with him on the internet.
I get that.
So I unfollowed him and I was like,
yep.
That's some familiar wife.
He's gonna owe you. He's gonna owe you a dollar this fall.
Yep.
Oh yeah, he is.
Even if Trump wins, God help us all. That's a stupid thing to say on this podcast. But even if Trump wins, he was like predicting a landslide.
Yeah. Well, I know. I told him one vote above, I'll take it. I'm an honorable man.
I'm waiting for him to welch.
Waiting for him to prove maybe that
because he's
going to
say that Hilary stole the election.
Of course,
and it doesn't
that's the whole narrative.
Anyway, sorry, this is totally off topic, and nobody on this listening to this podcast knows what the fuck I'm talking about. So let's go back to the idea. My brother-in-law has been like super stupid shit about like voter ID laws and Colin Kaepernick and all this other bullshit. And I've been using it as an opportunity to educate. And the trick is not educate him, because he is obstinate and dumb. Mm. He's not dumb. He's not a stupid man, but he is dumb about this. And he's just being super obstinate. And my mom at one point was like, Tim, why do you keep doing this? Why do you keep doing this? It's not a fair fight. Mm-hmm. Because I keep providing him with facts and links, and he keeps coming back to me with, well, you know, my opinion's my opinion, and I have a right to it.
Or like, well, that's not what I hear. That's not what I hear.
Give evidence, and he moves the goalpost.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I'm like, it's not about him. It's about the other people that are reading his post who haven't made up their mind yet, who need facts.
I've been adopting the other thing. I put up a post about it was the corrected conspiracy
theory. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
And then I had two believers of conspiracy theories jump in. And one of them, I took them both down handily.
Yeah.
Handily. And then they moved the goalposts and changed things and everything like that. And the one guy was going, well, you're saying there's no conspiracy? No, dumbass. Never said that. I'm saying, show me a conspiracy theory that later proved to be true. And then there was all special pleading and this and that. And I think, thank you for proving my point. But the other guy, it's like, so here's the thing. You believe Building 7 was controlled demolition.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. Just hold on. That just makes me feel ill.
You quoted AE911Truth or AE911Truth.org is a thing. You know, I've got 27 tabs open, and here's how it can go.
Yeah.
I can lay all this stuff on you. I can show you this. I can tell you the numbers. I can do this. You know, I can show you where it's, you know, motivated reasoning, you know, because you gave me something with about as much intellectual legitimacy as flat earthers. Or we can both go, we're not going to agree. I'm not going to change your mind. You're not going to change mine, and we walk away. You pick.
Yep.
He was quiet. And we're done.
Yep.
You know? I had a friend just the other day on Facebook say, like, Nick, you know, I respect you, and I think you're a great guy, and we're friends. And I'm just not really interested in following.
I'm requesting we stop discussing this.
I'm not interested in following this line of conversation anymore. Like, we'll just be cool. And I was like, I totally respect that, man. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean,
we don't need to agree.
I can accept
to be cordial.
That you're wrong. I don't even have to tell you it.
Well, especially if
it was a very subjective matter.
It was about something that didn't involve the rights of a person. It didn't involve like someone being abused or government power. Like, I mean, it wasn't something that mattered.
It was my perspective is this, my opinion is this. This is why I think this.
Because there's times
like,
where
I disagree because of these reasons. Like, just kind of cool.
Only one time where I feel like where it's about rights, where I will let that happen, where I will be like, whatever, I don't want to talk about it. And that's with abortion conversations. Because I'm like, do you think abortion's murder? And they're like, yep. I'm like, then we're done.
Yeah.
We're done. Like, we're fucking done. I don't have another thing to say.
I put up a pro-right thing that said, pro-choice thing that said, just because you're pro-choice doesn't mean you're necessarily pro-abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody jumped on saying, so you want the ability to murder without thing. Now, normally I didn't engage, but A, my wife has said to me, stop fighting with people.
Yeah.
And B, this guy's the affair owner.
Oh.
And I'm like, there's no good that's going to come.
No.
How are we doing on time?
We're getting close to five questions.
Okay, then I won't circle back to the Huck Finn thing. I do want to bring up two other things, and then if we have time, covers the swing low controversy here.
No, we don't have time.
Well,
The conversation I was having where it was let's just agree to disagree.
They couldn't make Blazing Saddles today.
No.
What a
shame. Probably not.
What a shame.
Or if they did, it would be a very different movie.
I think they could.
Mel Brooks says
They've made movies like that. They've made movies where race was that much of a joke and they were racially charged. Tropic Thunder.
Nicely done.
Yeah. They could totally do it. It's just a matter of how. And Mel Brooks did it really well.
Mel Brooks made an anti-racism movie about racism. Now, again,
involving racism.
Involving racism. And I would need to talk to, you know, I need to talk to a person of color and say, well, how do you feel about it? But I feel like that movie is really strongly anti-racist.
Yeah.
I think the biggest problem with that movie, the things that would change aren't the racism, it's the homophobia.
Yeah.
What are the women characters? Well, there's the prostitute. Yeah. And then there's the mayor's secretary he fucks.
It's the old West, though.
Not that I'm
really the best representative to speak for women on this.
No, but I'm just saying, there might be more female characters that are different or not just kind of one-notish.
I think I would disagree with Mel. I think the French Mistake scene is a scene that is, in retrospect,
Yeah.
Well, no, there's the dancing. Watch me, faggots. You know.
Yeah.
Oh, but then on the other, but then on the other side, there was bang, kiss, kiss, bang, bang, where the guy is Gay Perry.
Yeah.
Like, is a gay character who calls himself faggot. They use that word constantly in that movie. Like, there's a lot of
I think it's context. And if you're doing something historical, is historical language appropriate? And is the character who's saying whatever they're saying that's offensive, that's an outdated term or outdated joke,
is
that person a buffoon? Are they clearly a negative?
Exactly.
Are they like Cartman on South Park?
Yep.
Cartman on South Park is a despicable character. He's a racist. He's a sexist.
You know you're not supposed to emulate him.
Asshole. Everyone knows don't be Eric Cartman. Does Eric Cartman say terrible shit? Constantly.
Everyone knows
don't be Eric Cartman. Because everyone fucking hates Eric Cartman because he's an asshole.
Yeah.
Negative examples are valuable.
Yeah. Another thing about Blazing Saddles, co-written by Richard Pryor.
Yeah.
Which, you know,
really?
That... Yeah. Yeah. Huh. It was co-written by Richard Pryor. So that factors in. The other thing is, you know, there's some... I was thinking about things like, you know, the Harvey Korman character is actually not racist. He never says a racist thing in the entire film. It's all the people that are following him. He's using their racism.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah.
That's. I think. Yeah. I mean, he probably is racist, but he's not racist in the same way.
It's not important to the. Yeah. It's not in the show.
So I don't know. I'm going to respectfully disagree with you in our non-echo chamber kind of way.
I think it could happen, but it would be updated.
There would be changes.
You know, there'd be changes.
When you write it, let me know.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. And then one of the things, sometimes I fight fights in advance of them actually happening.
Yeah.
I have a Bill Cosby joke.
Yeah.
And then it actually starts at Bill Cosby and ends with Jared from Subway.
Yeah.
And I really want someone to object to it and say it doesn't fit in the show, so I can look at them and say, listen, motherfucker, you only know about what Cosby did because of comics like me.
Yeah.
He's been doing it
Hannibal
for
Burress.
Years.
It's
but
true.
It was Hannibal Buress that brought it to your attention, so back the hell off.
I had to play Bill Cosby yesterday in a game of suitors.
Oh my god.
So we play this game called Suitors. It's an improv game where one person is the princess. It doesn't matter what gender. That person is the princess. And they are here to meet their three suitors who are there. And the game is an improv game. The person who's the princess goes in back into the soundproof house where they can't hear anything. And then we get suggestions from the audience. And we usually say, I need a celebrity you hate. So we get a lot of Kim Kardashian, Justin Bieber, Donald Trump, Kanye West, but this time we got Bill Cosby. And everyone went, ooh. And Eric, the friend of the show, Eric Thompson, who is the host and director, kind of like froze and looked at me and I was like, do it, like pointing to myself. I was like, yes. I just realized I nodded on the radio. And he was like, okay, Bill Cosby. And then he did some other ones. And he told me later, he turned around and said to someone who wasn't in this bit, like, I trust my cast. And I didn't even really make a rape joke at all. I did Cosby dancing. One of the questions that Beefcake asked me as the princess was, if I cooked you a nice dinner, what would you cook for me? And everyone went, oh, like that. And I was like, I'd make you something really delicious, and then afterward you'd fall asleep. And then I did some, you know, pudding pop, and I did some old stand-up stuff of his, back in the day in the neighborhood, and the kid gave me one of these, and I gave him one of these.
You never did a joke where the punchline was...
You getting raped.
At a rape victim.
Yeah.
You... acknowledge the fact that he is a rapist.
But it was hard, and I was like, I was kind of racking my brain to figure out how I was going to like do this carefully without being awful.
I have a Bill Cosby verse in Virgin Sturgeon I only do in the $50 or above version of the song, and it's super, but it makes fun of Cosby being a rapist, not somebody.
Yes, exactly.
I hope nobody ever finds this notebook show notes.
Where you just wrote the N-word a bunch of times.
A bunch of times. Right above my question mark about the BLM joke. So there you go.
We gotta get to five questions.
Questions.
What's the plan for that, Ron?
Okay,
we never had a nine-peat.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. And you know what?
Apologize.
God's Not Dead 2, I'm the first double-digit guest.
Oh, that's right. Oh my God, that's next week.
There are those who might argue you're already a double-digit guest since we had to record your first episode twice.
Well, then,
You know, I just want to let you know, Ron, the copy we got of God's Not Dead 2 it's a really high quality.
Nice.
Rip. You can really see all of it.
You can really see all the detail.
I got to tell you, I play like a drinking game because I listen to you guys' podcast all year long. Aww. I play like a drinking game, and every time you mention me, which happens surprisingly a lot, it's like, woohoo! I don't actually drink since I'm always driving and I don't drink anymore. Yeah. But when I was doing the research,
mental drink.
Yeah. When I was doing the research for the show, I'm driving up commuting from Kenosha to here every weekend, and the woman in the car with me, Rebecca, is like, I hope they mention me. First thing out of the gate on 199, Tim goes, well, there was that one time when we had to double record that Ron Bauman episode. I
win. The only person who won't forget that is Tim.
Yeah, right. So rather than writing any questions or anything else,
it's affected everything I've done since.
I am glad to be a cautionary tale for you.
Yeah.
Let's do the classic game, Fuck, Marry, Kill.
Oh, okay. God.
But let's do it with people inside, on either side of the atheist skeptic movement.
Oh God!
And now, normally, I don't answer these questions when I pose them because that's just masturbatory, yeah. And I am a masturbatory man. So I'll give you my answers first.
Perfect. Okay.
All right. So who are we starting with?
I'm going to start with fuck first because it's going to be kind of obvious and a little bit silly.
We're the three people.
I'm getting it.
All right.
I'm going to go with fuck first, which is I lost her name. Jenny McCarthy. Now here's why. Obviously, she's pretty and a playmate. That's not enough. Obviously, she's a crazy, crazy anti-vaxxer. Jenny McCarthy has a body count.
Yeah.
That's not enough. The woman is funny.
She used to be.
She used to be really, really funny. Her Belly Laughs book, I read it when we were pregnant. Yeah. That was great. Her movie, Dirty Love, is great.
All right.
And every time I go, look at all this valuable stuff that you did, and then there's this crazy bullshit.
Yeah.
And I'd like to think that through the magic of penis mancy, I might bring her back around to the proper side, and so she gives up the idea that he's an indigo kid.
You're going
to
vaccinate her against
with your
anti-vax
dick.
With
your dick.
Well, and I stole the vagina mancy because I just listened to you say it yesterday, and it's penis mancy. So that's my that's my fuck.
All right.
My kill is going to be either Andrew Wakefield.
All right.
You know, because piece of crap that he is, or the douchebag with a vaguely Eastern European name that's doing, again, air quotes, cancer experiments in Texas.
I haven't heard of this guy.
Oh, dude.
I think we're going to have to go with Andrew Wakefield.
Wakefield. And then Mary, Seth motherfucking MacFarlane, man.
Seth MacFarlane.
He's beautiful, he's talented, and he produces.
He's certainly gay.
don't care, I will cross the line for that man.
Can I write something on that?
And by certainly gay, I mean like he'll do you. Like, I don't mean he's only gay.
So our cast for Fuck, Marry, Kill
is Jenny McCarthy, Andrew Wakefield,
and
Seth MacFarlane.
I'm sorry, no. Seth motherfucking MacFarlane.
We have to pick those three?
No, you pick
one.
Oh, yeah, you pick yours. Oh, I'm so sorry, guys.
Oh, no, Fuck, Marry, Kill is usually you give us three guys.
We're doing a variant. I meant to say variant.
Let's see. All right.
Oh, man. So now I gotta think about this even more.
That's the only possible answer for that.
I do have a kill.
I'm thinking here. All right.
I just need to figure out who to fuck.
Okay. I've got mine. All right. So I would fuck Rebecca Watson.
Can't blame you. Can I watch then?
Yeah, because she's hot as hell and funny as hell. And smart and kind.
You guys recorded with her.
Yeah, we've recorded with her a couple times. And I think she's delightful. So fuck Rebecca Watson.
Even when I don't agree with her, I like how she says it.
Yeah. I would. I think I would kill Ray Comfort. Ray Comfort, is his name?
Yeah.
The Banana Hands guy.
Yep.
The guy who keeps trying to, that guy, him or Kirk Cameron. I'm really tired, but I feel like if I kill Kirk Cameron.
I'm just writing down Kirk Cameron.
I feel like if I kill Kirk Cameron, everyone will know. But like I could kill Roy Comfort and people wouldn't know as easily. I guess Mary, I'd go. I guess I'd marry Neil deGrasse Tyson.
That's
We can share Neil deGrasse Tyson. And we can both kill.
All right, I want to see that video too. Sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know about fuck yet. I'm still thinking about it. But I would definitely kill Ken Ham or Kirk Ham.
Nice. Ken Ham.
And I would definitely marry Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah.
I might fuck Neil deGrasse Tyson, but I feel like he'd be like a cuddly. Yeah, but you know,
and he's a giant too. So but he's a giant even man.
You could keep up with your size needs.
He seems like a dope guy to be married to. Yeah. Like I'd be cool with that. I'd be happy.
Look at my man on TV.
Go on tour with him. And look at my husband signing books.
Yeah, well, wouldn't it be lovely if he actually hears this?
Yeah,
he's out as an agnostic now.
Yeah, that's
neat. I don't know about fuck. I can't think of. I'm having a problem thinking of prominent women in the anti.
Hey, baby, it doesn't have to be one.
He's only into women.
Me too. But you know, I'm for Neil, Seth MacFarlane, I'll make all the exceptions in the world.
That's fair. That's fair. You married him, though.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't want to
do it.
I don't want to be like take all of Molly's answers and say Rebecca Watson because
you can take my answers. Watson, though. I mean, but, everyone knows that we have all the really similar interests.
I don't know. I don't have the internet on my phone, so I feel like I've painted myself into a corner.
All right,
Tim? Wise.
Okay, this is tough. I think kill. This is going to be weird, but hear me out. I'm going to kill Richard Dawkins, and here's the
thing.
I'm hearing him.
Here's the thing.
I think I'm feeling this
because Richard Dawkins is saying a lot of misogynist shit.
Yep.
And he's said plenty about atheism and I feel like he's said enough.
Yeah.
He's an old dude.
He's only going to get worse with the misogyny.
Yeah. And the
So I feel like if Richard Dawkins is dead, we still have all the stuff that was worth him saying and he doesn't have to say more stupid shit.
It's like Hitchens.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah. So I feel like
now becomes a martyr.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a win-win.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a win-win.
If we get to pick how they're killed, could we say that he's like assassinated by some super procreationist person?
Oh, yes.
He's a martyr.
He can be a martyr.
I think that's a good call. Actually, I'm going to go with Mary Rebecca Watson because being married, I had the experience and the children to prove it. You can have sex with that person. So not only would I get
we don't even have kids and we have sex all the time.
And, but the other thing is, she makes me laugh. She's funny. Yeah. She's the kind of person. Yeah. She's the kind of person I could hang out with a lot. If I was not already married to a wonderful woman, hi, honey, thanks for listening.
I was about to say, why didn't you say Patricia Wick? Because that's who I would have chosen for you.
You said prominent people. And while she is prominent to me, she is not necessarily prominent to a lot of people outside this podcast.
So then who are you fucking, Tim?
Who I'm fucking is Julianne Moore because she's an out atheist and she's super hot.
Yeah, she is.
Super hot.
Yeah, she
is. I feel like she seems like the sort of person that would be into like that casual sex kind
of thing. Yeah. I'm sure she loves Renaissance festivals too.
I bet she really would be into that. So that's my fuck.
Julianne Moore. Awesome.
Look into Cara Santamaria who replaced Rebecca on The Skeptic's Guide.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Huh.
Lovely, and she dated both Bill Maher and my future husband, Seth MacFarlane.
Oh, wow. So, excellent.
Yeah.
By the way, honey, I love you. This is just theory.
I love you too, Pat.
It's a game. Pat, I suspect I love you as well.
All right,
you bring the entire conversation down into the toilet.
If you would like to let us know who in the atheist, skeptic, or not so skeptical movement you would like to fuck, marry, kill, please light up our comment section.
Yes,
let us know.
Sorry, Rebecca. We respect you, Rebecca.
it's because
you're not an object.
Yes.
Yes. But if you want to be,
there we go. All right. So, and also a reminder again, we have a Patreon going on, and we are really trying to reach that $100 level. We're not there yet. We would really like to get some new equipment, and we need your help. So when we get there, we will make that happen.
Yep.
We won't be just sitting in the trailer. The trailer studios will have, what do we want to say? An upgrade. Thank you, Ron, for joining us for the 9th time. It is great, and thank you for listening. We will catch you next week.
Bye.
Oh, bye.
We like Ron and all, but after what he said about The Force Awakens, I'm not sure if we can be friends anymore.
We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
What did you do?
I put my hand here.
What did you do, Nick?
Always the case.